Thank you, Lord, for your presence in our midst. We don't even have to ask. Lord, your word says where two or three are gathered in your name, you are there. So, Lord, we believe and we enter in. Lord, we give this final session to you, and we ask that you would speak the way that you want to speak and to leave in our hearts those things that will be useful for your glory and your increase in us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, well, the students have finished their test and they have turned them in. I've seen them. Marcia, did you turn in your homework? I didn't get a chance to look.
I did not. I'm sorry. I can do it right after class.
Okay, please do. It was due today, so yes, please. Right. Very good. Okay, so that's done. The pressure's off. I haven't looked at your tests, so whatever happened, happened. it's over. And we're just grateful to the Lord that it's over. And I think that's probably your last test for Acts. I don't know if you have any other tests in any of your other classes. So today, we're just going to have a wrap-up. I'm going to summarize a few little things, and then I would just love to hear both from the students for sure, and then anybody else, anything you would like to share on the major prophets, something that you learned. It could be spiritual, it could be informational. That's okay, because we're all at different places, and God's not just opening the heavens for all of us all the time. So it's okay to share basic things or easy things or what you think may not be important. If you're learning it, then we want to hear it. And we won't despise it. So, that said, I want to look at a few verses to kick us off here in our conclusion today. Let's turn to Revelation 19, verse 10. Revelation 19, 10. It says, and John is speaking, and I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now we started with this verse at the very beginning, the very first class. This verse is, I think, probably the first verse I shared, if not the first, then one of them, because I wanted to set the tone for all of us that the major prophets is not first and foremost about telling the future, although the Lord does tell the prophets, give prophets things concerning the future, no doubt about it. But first and foremost, it is coming from the spirit of the testimony of Jesus, and the testimony of Jesus is his crucifixion and his sufferings and his resurrection. And this is the spirit from which all prophecy proceeds. Now, we may not understand that. You might be reading, you know, about beasts in Daniel, or you might be reading about really wild visions in Ezekiel and not have any clue. Go, I don't know. It looks like this to me. It looks like, you know, a big stone temple. It looks like a wild vision of, you know, God's glory with a chariot. I don't know. But we have it on good authority that even if the Lord's not opening the word to us in this way at the moment, that this is what we are to be directing our focus towards, is the testimony of Jesus first and foremost. Can he use the prophets to tell things coming up in the future? Yes, but it all has to do with the testimony of Jesus. You see, even when the Lord is moving in the earth into the times and the seasons, present and future, he's still doing that with the intent of somehow bringing forth an increase of the testimony of Jesus in his people. So, well, maybe you're saying, well, I didn't see any of that. I read all the prophets and the Lord didn't show me. That's okay. This is not a sprint, okay? Learning Christ is a marathon, not a sprint. And you pace yourself in the sense of you don't expect you're going to get everything right now. You're breaking up the fallow ground. You're planting seeds. You're spending time with the Lord. You're growing in faith and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and in his grace. The Spirit of Christ is increasing in you. And if you are keeping pace with that and you are in the scriptures diligently, then when the time is right, the Lord will take you to the right place in the scripture or lead you there. And that will be what reveals Christ at that time. See, there's all these little moving parts of the Lord's working with in you, and the scriptures are part of it, but not all of it. So, and the goal ultimately isn't revelation in that we're seeing amazing things in the word. The goal is an increase of Christ in us. And so knowing the scriptures prepares the way for knowing the Lord, knowing the Lord prepares the way for an increase of Christ. So that's the flow that we're a part of. Okay, let's go to 1 Peter 1, 10 and 11. 1 Peter 1, 10 and 11. I'm sure you knew all that, but it's always good to stir up and remind ourselves and refocus, because I tell you, it is so easy, even when you have a heart on fire for Jesus, sometimes it's just that focus has to be regularly readjusted, doesn't it? Okay, verses 10 and 11 of 1 Peter 1, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. I'm thinking of Isaiah about right now and his amazing, amazing view of God's grace towards his people and the Gentiles. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So the prophets had the Spirit of Christ in them testifying of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. This is what was motivating them to speak. Amazing. You know, I was thinking about the differences between the major prophets, and they are very unique among themselves. They are not, there's no two alike. And I was thinking about Jeremiah and how so much of his prophecy, apart from a couple chapters in the 30s, most of his prophecy has to do with imminent things that are about to happen. You know, with reference to, it's not like Isaiah that sees these huge, sweeping, eternal things at all. And as I was thinking about that, I was like, that is still the testimony of Christ, the Spirit of Christ speaking in him, still, even though he's talking very much about current events. But it's still, and we may not always be able to make the connection. I hope that in this class we made the connection that Jeremiah was displaying the sufferings of Christ, and he was being motivated by a spirit while he was displaying it. So there's definitely that there. But I'm sure there's much, much more than what I have been able to share with you. I mean, I have no doubt. The prophets have been a very area for me that I have not known as well as other parts of scripture. So it required me to really dig in, but it also means that I'm not as advanced to be able to just lay before you like advanced things. I don't believe in just pretending. So I've been giving you what I'm, you know, what I know and what I'm learning, but I trust the Lord in that he can take you way past that, you know, no problem, you know, because we lay ground in each other and we help one another move forward in the Lord. Amen. Okay, let's see. Let's look at one more. Luke 24, 27. Are any of these verses looking familiar to the test takers? They had to come up with some of these verses on their own. I hope that you found one or two of these and were able to kind of say them back on your test. Luke 24, 27. It says, oh, yes, go ahead. You did that very well, not getting into the camera frame. I'm very impressed. Isaac needed something, and he stayed out of the camera frame the whole time. Luke 24, 27 says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he, meaning Jesus, expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. All the scriptures, Moses and the prophets, okay? So Jesus himself used these very scriptures to show his cross and his resurrection. Amazing. Amazing. So if Jesus was able to do it, then we have it on really good authority that, you know, that it is there to be found. And now Jesus is in you and the Holy Spirit is in you. You have two members of the Trinity with you and in you every single day. That's called a majority. And so the Lord is there to share with you, just like, and even more so because Jesus was beside the two disciples that were walking on the road to Emmaus, right? But he is in us, and these scriptures are for us. So we can approach the Lord, these scriptures in hand, in faith, and see Christ. And I'm hitting this really hard, partly because this is what we're about here. We're not about futuristic prophecy, though that's, it's all very true. And I don't doubt that, but we want to know the source, the person himself, and we want to see the scriptures illuminated with him, you know, for them to just glow with him. And so, you know, talking to our Bible school students who are younger, a lot of people, if you say, oh yeah, I've been reading Daniel. Oh yeah, I've been reading Ezekiel. Their minds will go, and you can't expect it otherwise because this is the way it kind of is in the church, towards future things that relate to us in the prophets, or, you know, different, well, are you mid-tribulation, post-tribulation, on these different interpretations of the prophets that really have to do with the future and nothing to do with Christ crucified per se. And that's okay. There's probably a correct interpretation there that I don't know. So I don't mean to put myself above anybody in that, because I really don't know. And I am not an expert. I don't know. But I do know that if you stick with Christ crucified, the Holy Spirit will properly interpret the scriptures the way he wants you to know, not them, the scriptures, but him, Christ crucified. Okay. And if your heart is there, it's not going to matter. You know, the causes and the issues and the viewpoints won't matter to you. Your compass is set on Christ crucified, and he can show you future stuff, and that's fine. He showed Daniel things concerning the future. He was very clear. I'm going to show you some things concerning the future. It's going to happen a long way off, but I love you, and I'm going to show you, you know, and the Lord can do that. But even so, this morning I was reading in Daniel, and I was thinking, here's all these beasts and, you know, different kings from four different places coming and fighting each other, and this one's overcoming that one, and this one's backing off, and this one's falling to pieces, and I'm thinking of all that, and I just felt like, as I was reading, I was like, okay, well, I really don't know. I mean, I know that scholars have attached history to that. I know that that's true. And they're probably correct. I don't doubt that they've got some correct stuff in there. But I was thinking about, the Lord is talking to Daniel. He's not been called as a prophet. He's not in the office of a prophet. But it says twice in those last few chapters when the angel, or if it's maybe Jesus himself, comes to Daniel and wants to share a vision with him, he says, you're a man greatly beloved, and so I'm going to share this with you. And I went, whoa. He's not sharing on the basis of, I want to tell you what's happening next. He's sharing with Daniel on the basis of, I love you. You have spent your whole life in captivity serving foreign kings, and you've stayed with me through every kind of season, favor, popularity, persecution, and my heart is moved, and I want to fellowship with you. I'm going to unburden myself to you. You know, and that's kind of what was going on with Daniel, and I was just like, man, that is really cool. I mean, just to have that kind of a relationship with the Lord, and, you know, we have, you know, through the church ages, people arguing and digging in and trying to figure out what the future was. And God just shared it with him because he loved him. You know, there's a little key there. There's a key there, you know? And so I was reading and noticing that and thinking, God is spending a lot of time talking about kingdoms that are against him and operate by the beast and by power and by pro-self. And why would he do that? And then I thought, oh, he's talking about all the things that have to come to pass to make everything just right for the seed to come. Because all the kingdoms that the Lord was talking to Daniel about were kingdoms that would have to come into power before Jesus could come as a man and die on the cross. And I began to think, oh, okay, if it's true, you know, geopolitically, historically, it's coming from the spirit. You know, the testimony of Jesus, that's the spirit of prophecy. So this has to do with things that happen, and it might not just be in current events. It could be in a soul, different things rising and falling before the seed can come forth. Now, I don't understand why that is, but it's true. I mean, Daniel is telling us it's true, that all these things come to pass, and then the seed comes. Then God's people overcome. Then his kingdom comes and swallows up everything, you know. So, you know, just amazing. Everything goes right back to Christ and him crucified, and we don't have to understand it. It is simply so, and we don't have to figure it out or get it. You know, we just simply are with the Lord, and we enter in by faith that that is so, and he opens it when he's pleased, and we love him all the while. So anyway, spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. Let's see. Oh, yes, Asher, do you have a comment?
Yes. So from what you were saying earlier, that because he was greatly loved by God, God unburdened himself. And I just find it interesting as me as a person gets a lot of like people to kind of, they rant to me, not even if they like know me too well, but also people that know me well. And it's interesting to like consider it as a love thing. Like, because they love you and trust you, even if it's like, oh, they don't really know you, but they still like what's the level of that? And just like how...
They're picking up on something in you. They feel safe.
And yeah, they feel the safeness mm-hmm. to unburden their burdens.
Yeah.
And it's...
You know, that's really cool. Yeah. And yeah, there's like two tracks there. And the one is that the Lord would have that. But the other is, you know, the Lord can really use that in you, Asher, as he develops you into a son of God by Christ and someone that people can come to and be able to feel safe in their brokenness and their problems. And then to get the Lord in return and they could go away with something of him. You know, I believe that the Lord can, you know, if that's already happening, then that's something he can do in you, you know, as you continue to let the Lord increase in you as you already have begun, you know, and that's wonderful. And it's a good thing to know that people open their hearts when they feel like they can. And, you know, people, not everybody, but many people are not quick to open their hearts because it's a very vulnerable thing. And especially if you've gotten rejected or if you've been hurt, then you're not going to just open your heart to that person. It takes some, unless you're really conformed to the image of Christ and can just do it. But even the Lord doesn't. I mean, the Lord's not bound by self-preservation or fears or wounds in that sense. He's not bound by those things like flesh and souls are. But he is hesitant to open himself. He doesn't just open himself to anybody. And I know I have felt like there have been times where I'm like, are you not opening yourself to me because I'm just another Christian saying help, help, or something? Or, you know, I want to be what will, where he feels open. I want to be a vessel where he feels open, where he can be and doesn't have to, I mean, he doesn't have to share with me what he shared with Daniel, but I want to have that kind of quality of spirit in me all the time where he feels like he is there. And, you know, that does go back for me to Daniel, you know, living for 70, he spanned the captivity and his ministry spanned the entire 70 years. God used him on and off, but there were a lot of silent years, silent decades in there where he did not hear from God in a way that it made it into the word. Maybe they were talking every day like that. I don't know. We don't know. But we do know that there are times when he is, you know, in obscurity and he is, as far as we can tell, living the exact same quality of spirit as he was when he was in favor and in power, you know. To me, that's just amazing. I love that illustration. It just so speaks to me. And then the Lord would feel like, this is a guy I can talk to. You know, this is a guy I can talk to, you know. Precious. Maybe just read a few of my notes here. And as I'm sharing, Marcia and Isaac can be thinking of some things they want to share because I have told them I definitely want them to share today some. But I am open to any of the rest of you having comments and thoughts. So you can be gathering your thoughts and I'm going to do a little reading here. I wrote down, just in closing with the major prophets, after all that they did, how the prophets obeyed God and delivered his word, sometimes in great sufferings, in the end, it didn't change anyone. Jesus still had to come. It wasn't enough for a faithful prophet to deliver the word of the Lord. Jesus still had to come. It still has to be Christ in people that's going to really make the change that the Lord is looking for. Jesus had to come and die and come live in our hearts for all of the changes to happen that the prophets spoke of. This is why we need to understand the prophets on these terms, because they're saying you broke the law here, you broke the law there, you did this, you did that, repent, repent, repent. But even then, that didn't bring Christ. Christ has to come in our hearts, and then we can respond to the word of the prophets properly, you know, because Christ in us is what satisfies God, not our proper repentance, you know, and turning and behaving ourselves. So let's see, what else did I say here? I said all that. Okay, so I just want to talk about interpreting the major prophets going forward. Let's see here. I've kind of said this, but I'm just going to say it again. When the prophets are speaking of something that was imminent in the earth that was going to happen, Nebuchadnezzar's coming. He's going to destroy Jerusalem, says Jeremiah. Everyone goes, yeah, whatever. But no, seriously, it's going to actually physically happen. Like, it could have made it into a newspaper or onto a newscast. Like, it's going to actually happen as a current event. Okay, so that's a sign of a prophet, that what you say comes to pass, okay? But what we have to understand is that the Lord is spirit, first and foremost. And I kind of already said this, but I'm just going to say it in this way to kind of give it a different angle. The Lord is not first and foremost material, matter, or physical, or even soul. He's first and foremost spirit and heart. So when he speaks, he's speaking from there first and foremost. He is not first and foremost speaking to an earth problem. But he's manifesting himself in the earth problem as a word. Okay? The crucified one is. So he's not really talking about earthly things, even if he's talking about earthly things. And that's true in your life today, because he's the same, okay? And so we are always being changed and adjusted to be with him where he is at, aren't we? To understand that everything comes from spirit and life first, not earthly circumstances first, even if he's speaking into the earthly circumstances, which he does all the time, all the time. But we will misinterpret him if we interpret based on, I live here and God's speaking to me here, and this is what it means when he says this. We might catch some of it, but we're not catching the full heart. To catch the full heart, we have to enter into it being about spirit and heart first, and then we see the proper view of Christ crucified in all of our circumstances as he speaks into them. So, for example, I'll just pull out an obscure scripture, and you don't have to turn there, but this is Ezekiel 28:22. And he's talking to Zidon. This is where Ezekiel is prophesying against the foreign nations. What, he's silent to the captives and he's speaking to the foreign nations for 3 years. And in 28:22, it says, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Zidon, and I will be glorified in the midst of thee. And they shall know that I am the Lord when I shall have executed judgments in her and shall be sanctified in her. Well, you know, that's not the first verse you'll pull out if someone says, what did you learn from Ezekiel? You know, because he says that a lot in Ezekiel, and it's, I mean, I read over it a million times. But when I was reading it, and by the way, I was also reading the prophets when you guys were right through, like doing, I was reading it too, because I wanted to stay sharp in the scriptures. So as you were doing your homework, I was going right along with you guys, and I just want you to know I'm not assigning things that I'm not willing to do myself. So we're in it, learning the Lord together. Amen. But anyway, a very commonplace scripture, one that you would easily overread for more exciting and important and Jesus-filled scriptures. But as I read that verse a couple months ago, the Lord shared with me, and he says, what's really going on is something in the hearts and the spirits of the people, something that resists the Lord into self-glorifying. In Ezekiel 28:22, God says, I will be glorified in the midst of destruction. Something was supposed to have happened where they honored God and they did not. So the circumstances are not really the theme. This means that the spirit behind the circumstances can be actually what is going on in any situation. In any situation. If the spirit in that motive is in someone else, like what's in Zidon is in me or it's in you, you know, God will deal with it eventually. It may not look like a city in famine physically. It may not look like a physical city being destroyed. But the Lord is against whatever spirit was motivating Zidon that he was dealing with. Wherever he sees that spirit, he's going to deal with it like that. Right? He's going to, but it may not look like destruction of a city. That's where we don't know how to interpret, because we're looking for that. We're looking for an outward thing. I say we, I mean just people, not like you personally. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're way past that. I don't know. I don't know that I am. But I'm trying to learn to interpret based on the truth of, you know, the spirit and truth, not, oh, God's judging because look, that building just fell down or something. And it's only God judging when cities fall down. No, the Lord can be working great judgments in his very own people because he hates that spirit everywhere and wants Jesus there. You know, so now the scriptures become alive for any situation because you're looking at it from spirit and not just outwardly. Well, that was a city God destroyed a long time ago. And the only thing we can get out of that is let that be a lesson to you, young man, or something, instead of it being the word of the Lord to me now to bring forth Christ. Okay. So, it may not look like a city in famine physically or a physical army outside your door, but spiritually, this can still be going on, this kind of destruction of the things that have resisted the Lord. And if you have Jesus in you, you kind of want that. You're not afraid of that. If you have things in you that resist the Lord, and he shows that, if you love him, you want that dealt with. And you say, yeah, bring that destruction to the cross. Bring it. And then bring forth Christ out of the ashes. Amen. You know? So our view changes by oneness. We're no longer on the side of the receiving end of judgment going, no, I don't want to be judged. I don't want to be in trouble with the Lord. Now we're one bone of his bone, and we see something in us like Zidon and go, oh, I'm one with Christ. I shouldn't be there. And give me a sword. And I'm going to execute the judgment of the Lord on this because I'm one, you know? So, but this, we can see by oneness, and we begin to interpret the scriptures by oneness and by life and not by law and separation and circumstances. When you read the prophets, or any scripture for that matter, see past the circumstances into the eternal spirit of God and the spirits of those with whom he is moving, and you will see how prophecy can apply to any era or any individual. And then I write, just, and this is my conclusion, even in the midst of great failure and destruction, I'm thinking of the captivity and the destruction of Jerusalem, and God's people failed. I mean, like, not just like they had a bad day. I mean, the grievances the Lord brought against his people was like, ever since you got to the land, you haven't celebrated the Sabbath. Like, those kind of grievances. And then the more recent ones with Manasseh bringing in idolatry. But the whole thing had just veered off from what the Lord had meant it to be, you know. So great failure, great destruction because of failure. They were living in the earth with the consequences of their actions, okay? But God, there's always something higher and more eternal than your circumstances. Either the good ones, where it's wonderful and it's with the Lord and it's flowing, or the horrible ones. Oh, I messed up, and what's going to happen now? There's something higher than both of those. And the prophets show us judgment, but the prophets show us this. They show us this. They show us great hope, but the hope is only in the Lord. It's never going to fully materialize in Israel. It's always going to be in the Lord. Even in the midst of great failure and destruction, Christ can be seen and known. And because of Christ, there will always be a resurrection and a new beginning for those who cling to him. It's not that, oh, I'm living in the consequences of my actions and I have to live here. No, you cling to that Jesus who went into death. And it, no matter how bad it is, Jesus can come out of that. And Jesus can come out of you in that. And Jesus can be your deliverance out of that season and into a whole new season of fruitfulness and life in Christ. Okay, Daniel sees all of these world kingdoms as beasts, but each vision always ends with the coming of God's kingdom. Okay, the scary part is never the end. The sad failure part is never the end of the story where you are bound up with the Lord. It's never the end. Isaiah speaks woe on the two kingdoms, the northern and southern, Israel and Judah. But mostly he is wrapped up with the coming of the new covenant and the grace it will bring both for God's people and the Gentiles. Jeremiah weeps for the Lord and for his people while suffering tremendous persecution and delivering warning after warning about the upcoming destruction and captivity. But he sees ahead to a time when God will write his law on the hearts of his people. God shows him that. There's a time coming that this is never going to happen again, this kind of destruction, because I'm going to write my law on their hearts and it's going to come from their insides. And that's us. You know, Christ in us, that's the fulfillment of that prophecy right there. It's a new covenant. Okay, Ezekiel, as a captive and having to wrestle with hard hearts and dull ears, sees a time when God's people will have a new heart and a new spirit in them and a temple where the glory of God can finally come to rest and rivers of living waters flow out. So there is always hope in the Lord. Let the Spirit of God lift our eyes to him. Let us receive his eternal heart and plans as our dwelling place. Let us learn to not live in the earth where there is failure and destruction all around, but in the Christ who overcame at the cross. Let us become signs of the cross in our age, pointing to the God who has rejected this world system and now offers a new heart and a new spirit to all who receive his Son. We can be that prophet, the display and the image of the new heart and the new spirit, and little signposts for people. Come on in. Yes, there's destruction and horrible stuff all around. Looks like the world's fallen all to pieces. But we've got a new heart and new spirit, and anyone can come into that. Amen? Amen. Well, that concludes what my little wrap-up of the major prophets. I hope that it has been a blessing to you, and I have so enjoyed this class with you guys, every single one of you. And I just wanted to open it for comments and sharing time and just to really hear from you guys. And is it okay if we start with you, Isaac, so people can kind of, it's good to start with a live person a lot. So I appreciate that. Come on up and share.
Well, what stuck out to me was mostly in Isaiah, the kinsman redeemer section that Mallory went over. It might be a slightly different angle than what you shared, but still along those lines, in Isaiah, and almost exclusively in Isaiah, the Lord calls himself thy redeemer. He's saying to Israel, I'm your redeemer, and I'm going to redeem you out of this. And that word for redeemer traces back to the kinsman redeemer, which was a law in Israel about in the law about how to redeem someone out of captivity or a bad situation, you needed a kinsman redeemer, someone related by blood. And I thought what came to me about that was that it has more to do with the fact that Jesus came incarnate in the flesh. Instead of just being a spirit, and instead of just being a way, like, not saying just being a way, but God has this way he was through all of eternity, and that was always true. And yet, he felt the need to come incarnate and live that unto salvation. It's like, when we say we're saved, Christ was slain before the foundation of the world, but we look to the cross. Well, why is that? You know, why do we... I don't even have always a full answer, but I see that what to God, what mattered was that, like, he was coming into the earth and he was doing it. It was not going to be an eternal way. It was going to be something that happened for real. And it's like the same with Christ in us. It's not, there's an eternal way that is the Lord, but the Lord's supposed to come into us and then live. So, when Lord's saying he's the Redeemer, he's saying, I'm going to come as one. I don't know that this was like what Isaiah was thinking as he wrote this, but it sort of sparked something of, I'm going to come as one of you. I'm going to become the least. I'm going to become a servant and give myself. So when he's saying, thy Redeemer, I'm your Redeemer, he's almost identifying with the suffering servant already. He's identifying as low. He's Redeemer is not, it has to be someone related by blood. So that's what stuck out to me.
Wonderful. It's wonderful when it's by life. Marcia, we'd love to hear from you. What has the Lord been sharing with you this quarter in Major Prophets?
Well, this is before that even, but I've just really enjoyed reading through all the books. Like, I've always been so, and I think like many are, like, so intimidated, especially by Ezekiel, or like even the length of Isaiah. I'm already intimidated by that. Like, but to actually have that read through and actually see things, you know, that you felt like the Lord spoken to you before, and then you kind of see the whole lines that go with that, the context. I don't know. That was just really enjoyable to read that, and just to see how the Lord kind of uses the scriptures that you're reading come to life, like, using them to speak to you, to to kind of exhort you, you know, out of the stories that you're reading of the Old Testament. I think that that has mainly stuck to me, just getting in the Word and seeing those things speak to your life today. Like, that has stuck with me.
That's really good. I appreciate that about what you said about the prophets feeling a little intimidating to people. And I understand that. I felt the same, especially with, I always avoided Daniel because it just, I just saw how many books were written on Daniel and how many opinions people have about what Daniel's talking about. And then I would read it in the King James and just be like, I don't even know. I don't know. But just to be able to come, kind of like you said, and said, okay, I'm just going to read it through. There's no pressure to understand it. We're just going to read it and just take it as it is and trust the Lord, you know, just take it as it is and trust the Lord. And then to watch the Lord speak, and it may not be, this is what this book of the Bible means, but just to use a passage out of that book to share. And you turn a corner where all of a sudden it doesn't feel so intimidating anymore. And now, you know, in the future, that's a groundwork that's laid. Now, you know, you can go to those books and find Jesus there for whatever level you're at. You don't have to be a scholar or somebody who has a degree in theology to attack these books, you know, to approach these books and find Jesus. So that's wonderful. What, Marcia, if I may ask a couple questions of you, what do you remember, like, is what do you remember about any one of the prophets that stuck out to you that you didn't know before that now you know?
I didn't know some, definitely, I didn't know almost anything about Ezekiel.
Okay.
So everything was new in that area.
So tell me about Ezekiel. What do you know about Ezekiel?
This kind of feels like a test. No, I'm kidding. But before this, I didn't even know, like, kind of what he was talking about. Mm-hmm. And so seeing, I don't know, for me, it was kind of cool to see that he only shared when he was in captivity himself, and he shared to the people while they were in captivity. Like, I didn't know that part. And I don't know, to hear a bit more behind the visions, because I think, like, maybe I've had them in primary school and you're just kind of amazed by the weird pictures you see and stuff. To hear more about that. Things like that.
That's good. So you feel like, we'd say in American English, you kind of got the lay of the land. You kind of like, oh, okay, this is what's happening here. I have it. You get your feet under you a little bit and kind of know how to go through the book, right?
Yes. Yes.
And that's what an overview is supposed to do. You're not supposed to understand everything after this class. You're just supposed to have kind of a sense of the different books. So that was really good. Thank you, Marcia. Francine, if you want to share, you are welcome to pop on. I know you might be busy doing something else, but we would love to hear from you if you have anything to share.
I'm very glad to hear now. It's very precious for me to hear that I can always look for in the prophets everywhere for Christ crucified.
Amen.
It's, I said, wow, wow.
Yes. Isn't it wonderful? It's wonderful.
Wonderful, yes. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. And thank you for being in the class. We just love having you.
And I wasn't always there because sometimes it's difficult. It's in the afternoon, and yes, I have to go here or there. Yeah. Yes. But I always love to, for each class, it's... it means a lot to me because I think the Lord sent me, will bring me to Denton, to the Jesus tribe. First, I became to love Jesus, and now I'm taken by that oneness. In every situation, I'm one with him. It's It's not only a lovely hiding place, but it's the life of Christ.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes, it's very difficult for me to explain in English, but it's very precious. So precious. Thank you.
Sister, just so you know, the spirit in your heart is coming out, even if you can't say it in English. We can hear your love for the Lord, and we can hear the eyes of your heart are open to Jesus. And yes, it's so your words are spirit and life to us.
Yes, and yeah. And I hope for my brothers and sisters and in my church to be a little bit at the time to be a witness of that.
Amen. All right. Well, we can keep that, all of us, we can keep that in prayer, can't we? Okay.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Asher, do you have any other comments that you would like to share? We have loved having you. Thank you for coming. And yes, we can do a round of applause for Asher coming. And he's learning sound booth and tech stuff, and he's been contributing comments in the class, and it's been great. Anything else?
It's just kind of Bible, really. Mm-hmm. Just looking at pretty much books in general have, you know, the introduction, rising action, and then they have climax, yeah, and then falling action, and then the conclusion. And just looking at like the Bible like that, because you know, you got like the beginning books introducing the world and introducing some of the key players, as in like family wise, and then you can look at the rising action of, like, let's say the prophets would fit in the rising action of all the conflicts and all the things that happened before Jesus, and then you can look at the, it's the way it deviates from the regular thing. It normally has a rising action, and then it's got the climax, and then falling action, then conclusion. But the climax is also the conclusion, really, because that's when Jesus comes, and that's like, oh, it's all with all the action, all the rising up has been coming to, and it's like, this is when it happens. But it's also, hey, all of this was coming for this, and the falling action is falling action because the climax has already happened. But with other things, it's like, oh, this big event happened, but then there's still like the end. And the end is like, for the Bible, it is also the end, but the climax was like the end, pretty much.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens when your eyes start being open, the eyes of your heart start being open to Christ, and everything starts getting gathered into Christ by the Spirit. You're just like, oh, that's it then. That's everything right there. And eventually that's right. You start just living there. You know what I'm saying? And it's like one constant flow of his life, and the ups and downs happen here, but we're there, you know. Thank you. Lindsay, I know you're busy doing other stuff, but if you have any comments about this class and the, you know, times you've been in here and maybe something the Lord shared with you, we'd love to hear from you as well.
I unfortunately missed a lot of the classes, but just what you were sharing earlier about Jeremiah and how he was in the thick of it and how he kind of showed forth that rejected outside the camp, crucified Christ in just his whole life. It reminded me of one thing that really struck my heart toward the end of his life, and I don't remember where it comes in his book because it's not all in chronological order, right? But chronologically speaking, it was at the end, end-ish, when like Jerusalem had been destroyed. And I might get some of the details wrong. I just remember this, the Lord, like this hitting my heart, of one of Nebuchadnezzar's, you know, our officers approaches Jeremiah at a certain point and says,
what no one in Israel was able to recognize. He says, what you've been saying has been from Jehovah.
Yeah, the Gentile figured it out.
Yeah. Like, you know, God sends us or whatever, you know what I mean? And it offers Jeremiah the option to live out the rest of his days in Babylon.
Yeah.
In relative, I would assume, in relative peace and comfort, because Jeremiah is the one who's been telling them to listen and go in captivity this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And so he would have been received on some level in Babylon. And he chose to stay with the offscouring of the children of Israel that were being left in the land. And I remember, like, there was no "I told you so," you know, in Jeremiah's spirit. Like, if he'd been holding on that whole time, saying, "I'm right and they won't listen to me," and that had been in there in the mix in his being the whole time, "Why won't they listen? I'm right, you know, woe is me, poor me," and all that stuff, then when that moment of vindication came, he would have taken it.
Right. That's right.
He would have said, "See, I was right. I have earned these last years in peace." But there was something real and clean. That's what, like, came to my heart, was when it's really the crucified Christ, he wasn't, like, bearing offense and poison on the inside.
Right.
You know, he was able in a clean way to just be like, "I'm going to stay." And just, I don't know, it was like the Lord said, "You can be with me in that way."
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can be in you in that way.
Mm-hmm.
To where the opportunity for vindication comes and you don't need it, because it's the crucified Christ.
Right.
And he was really fellowshipping with the Lord.
And, you know, you may never be in a situation where you're in a city that's about to be destroyed for displeasing the Lord, but you will probably in your lifetime, I dare say, be in a lot of situations where either you were dismissed or not listened to, because that's just part of the human experience in all of our lives, where people don't listen to what we have to say, or we feel like we're not given the place or whatever. And when the vindication comes around, when and if it does, you know, to have that spirit,
yeah,
you know, and that's very present, isn't it? That is a very good example of the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus, and it can be for today, even if the circumstances don't match. You know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. No. Was there something else?
No,
your heart?
I feel like I can hold on for a long time, you know?
The Lord has told me that. He's like, the reason why this problem has lasted so long is because you can hold out for so long.
Right, and Jeremiah yeah. could have been holding out that whole time, and it was like that was the moment where you see somewhere along the line, and that's another great thing about Jeremiah, is he wasn't perfect, and you right. see that, him struggling in his book. But I feel like he got with the Lord
yeah.
it, on the inside, or whatever, however mm-hmm. that works in the prophets, in the end, and it was a clean streak of the Lamb, and I yeah. just thought that, I want that.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm so glad to hear that, because I read different things in the prophets and would say the same thing. I want to be that way. I want it, Lord, let that be in me in that way. Not that I'm an important prophet, but that I can bear that spirit wherever I go, in whatever circumstance or calling the Lord has for me. Amen. That was really good. Thank you, everybody. Everyone's comments, so wonderful and heartfelt, and I just love that. And that's going to close for this quarter. And I just thank you all. And just, I said this before, but I just want to say to Marcia and Isaac, what a pleasure you guys have been as students the last few years. I can't even tell you. It's just so wonderful to be a teacher for you guys. And I hope that through the years, you have been able to glean things from the classes that are in there as life. And I'm just excited to have been part of your growth during these years. And we're done. I am not your teacher anymore. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. So God bless you all. And we'll just close out with prayer and be done here. Lord, thank you for our time. Thank you for the beautiful class that you let us have this quarter in the Major Prophets. And we just ask that whatever seeds you are able to plant will come up at the right time, Lord, and may they find good ground. Lord, and I just pray for the two students as they're being sent off into a new season, Lord, a new ways of learning Christ, new ways of seeing you and flowing with you, Lord, that you will open up avenues of them for them to share Jesus and teach them to be conformed to the image of your Son, and just send them off with your blessing, Lord. And may they forget the teacher, me or any other teacher, but maybe they remember the word and the living spirit that they received during these times. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.